We start with a peace chant from the Shvetashvatara Upanishad. This is on page 70 of Universal Prayers, top of page 70. Om Tvam Sri Tvam Pamanasi Tvam Kumara Utava Kumari Tvam Jirno Dandena Vanchasi Tvam Jato Bhavasi Vishvato Mukhaha Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. O Divine Lord, Thou art in the form of woman, Thou appear in the form of man, Thou art youth, Thou art the maiden, Thou art the old man tottering on his staff, Thou dost appear born in manifold forms. Om peace, peace be within us all, peace and harmony be amongst all beings, and peace be everywhere in nature. Good morning. Let us continue our study of seeing God in all, which we began last time, but could not finish. We'll complete this topic and then move on to the next topic next time. The second part that we were going to study today is how Sri Ramakrishna saw God in all beings. Not only human beings, animals, plants, in nature. Everywhere he saw the divine presence. How did he do that one? And I read some passages from the Gospel where he describes in his own words how everything appeared as God to him. Several passages, some of them I read. Then the second part of today's study will be how we, in our lives, can do that one. We cannot do what Sri Ramakrishna did. We are not in the same league. But as regular, ordinary human beings who are stuck in this plane of duality, how can we see God in all and everything? That four or five things we can do. We'll do that. So first, how Sri Ramakrishna saw God in all. Once he had once he describes the mystic vision he had when he was about to do worship in the Divine Mother Kali's temple in Dakshineshwar. In his own words, we can see this in the Gospel, page 345, 346, 3456, if you remember, that's where the description is, what he saw actually. 346. After realizing God, one sees that it is God himself who has become the universe and all living beings. The Divine Mother revealed to me in the Kali temple that it was she who had become everything. She showed me that everything was full of consciousness. The image was consciousness, the altar was consciousness, the water vessels were consciousness, the door sill was consciousness, the marble floor was consciousness, all was consciousness. I found everything inside the room soaked as it were in bliss, the bliss of Satchidananda. I saw a wicked man in front of the Kali temple, but in him also I saw the power of the Divine Mother vibrating. That was why I fed a cat with the food that was to be offered to the Divine Mother. I clearly perceived that the Divine Mother herself had become everything, even the cat. After realizing God, one sees all this aright, that it is He who has become the universe, the living beings, and the 24 cosmic principles. Another time, when he went to a zoo, he saw a lion there. And he said, I was taken to the zoological garden. I went into Samadhi at the sight of the lion. For the career of the mother awakened in my mind the consciousness of the mother herself. We worship the lion as the carrier, Vahana, of the Divine Mother, Simhavahini. Another experience, I worshipped the beautiful in a girl 14 years old. I saw that she was the personification of the Divine Mother. At the end of the worship, I bowed before her and offered a rupee at her feet. One day, I witnessed a Ramlila performance. I saw the performers to be actual Sita, Rama, Lakshmana, Hanuman, and Vibhishana. Then I worshipped the actors and actresses who played those parts. One day, I saw a woman in blue standing near the Bakul tree. She was a prostitute, but she instantly kindled in me the vision of Sita. I forgot the woman. I saw that it was Sita herself on her way to meet Rama after her rescue from Ravana in Ceylon. For a long time, I remained in Samadhi, unconscious of the outer world. Another day, I had gone to the Maidan in Calcutta for fresh air. A great crowd had assembled there to watch a balloon ascension. Suddenly, I saw an English boy leaning against a tree. As he stood there, his body was bent in three places. The vision of Krishna came before me in a flash. I went into Samadhi. One day, I was riding in a carriage. I saw two prostitutes standing on a veranda. They appeared to me to be the embodiments of the Divine Mother herself. I saluted them. One day when I was meditating, seated in the Kali temple, I could not bring the mother's form to my mind at all. Then I saw that she had appeared in the form of Ramani, a prostitute who came to bathe at the Dakshineshwar Ghat and was peeping from behind the water pot before the image. I laughed and said, "Oh, mother, you have a desire to become Ramani today. All right. Accept my worship today in this form." Thus, she made me understand I am also the prostitute. There is none other than me. One day, the ladies of Balaram Babu's family were sitting before the master in his room when a prostitute named Ramani passed along the road nearby. The master called to her and asked, "Why don't you come nowadays?" The ladies were scandalized to hear the master talking with a prostitute. Shortly afterwards, the master took them to visit the shrines. When they reached the Kali temple, the master said to the Divine Mother, "Mother, thou indeed hast become the prostitute Ramani. Thou hast become both the prostitute and the chaste woman." The ladies understood that they were wrong in despising Ramani and that the master spoke with her, knowing her to be the mother herself. They should not be so proud of their chastity, for it was all due to the mother's will. There are many other instances and passages where Sri Ramakrishna saw all and everything as the Divine Mother herself, as God. This will give us an idea of how every small thing, even an animal, a lion, or a boy standing in the Maidan, would trigger the awareness of the Divine in Sri Ramakrishna. But we cannot rise to that level from where we are right now. Since we are experiencing duality, seeing people and other things, animals and plants, good and bad, it is difficult to negate our experience and maintain that the whole universe is Brahman itself. As declared in the Upanishads. Last time we saw in the Upanishads, it has been said again and again that this whole universe is nothing other than Brahman, the ultimate reality, which is pure consciousness. No name, no form, no attribute. Chidgana, consciousness, mass of consciousness. There is nothing to differentiate. That is the truth. But we perceive it as the world of names and forms, a good and bad, and pain and pleasure, etc., duality. So this Upanishadic statement that this is all Brahman, all this is Brahman, Sarvam Kalavidam Brahma, is difficult for us to practice that one. Because we are perceiving duality, we are perceiving other people, we are seeing good and bad. So for us to say all this is really Brahman, it will be, and to maintain that position is very difficult. So we need something easier, something that we can do while remaining in the plane of duality. For us, the Kshetra, Kshetrajna model, given in the 13th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, that is more helpful, more doable. Kshetra means this body and the mind. Kshetra means field where a farmer sows the crops, sows the seeds and reaps the crops, reaps the harvest. In the same way, in the body, mind, we do all our actions. The actions that we do by thought, word and deed, they are like the seeds that we sow. All this happens only in the body and the mind. All actions happen only in the body, mind, body and mind. And the fruits of all actions are also reaped in the body and the mind. Whatever good and bad actions we do, and whatever good and bad results of action we experience, they all happen only in the body and the mind. Therefore, the body and the mind is sometimes compared to a field that a farmer has, where he sows the seeds and reaps the crops. So the body is referred to, body means mind also, is referred to in the Gita, 13th chapter, as the field, Kshetra. But in all these fields, infinite number of fields, fields include not only human bodies and minds, animals and plants, inanimate objects, and the whole of nature. Sun, star, moon, rivers, ocean, mountains, galaxies, everything is field. In all these infinite number of fields of infinite variety, there is only one thing that is common, the consciousness. That is what Sri Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. Know me to be the indwelling spirit in all the fields. Kshetrajnam chapi mam yiddhi sarvakshetreshu bharata. So many different fields are there. So many people, animals, plants, and things, good, bad, and everything. Without any exception, in all of them, only one universal divine consciousness exists. That is the truth. Since we are at the duality level, perceiving other bodies and minds, we can remind ourselves that though these bodies and minds are all different in every way, in every way they are different, still the consciousness pervading in all of them is the same consciousness, divine consciousness. That will help us to see the same divinity dwelling in all the beings. So first thing that we can do is to frequently remind ourselves of this truth declared in the Bhagavad Gita by Bhagavan Sri Krishna, that I am the indwelling spirit in all the beings. Kshetrajnam chapi mam yiddhi sarvakshetreshu bharata. Like this he has said in many places. In the 15th chapter he said, I am present in the hearts of all. Sarvasya chaham hridi sannivishtah. In the 18th chapter he has said, Lord Ishvara is present in the hearts of all. Ishvara sarva bhutanam hriddeshe arjuna tishtati. In the hearts of all the beings, the Lord Ishvara is present. Like this in many places Sri Krishna has said that he, the divine, is present in all the bodies and minds. That we can remind ourselves. We are seeing bodies and minds, we are not seeing God, but we can put this thought into our mind. Though I am seeing this person, good person, bad person, male, female, young, old, whatever, in this person also same divine is present. That is the truth. I can put that thought into my mind every time I see something or somebody. Need not be the body of a human being. It can be an animal. It can be a plant. It can be an object such as this book. It can be myself. This body mind also. The same indwelling spirit is there. By remembering frequently this truth, we are slowly developing a conviction. And whatever we keep on imagining repeatedly, that will eventually culminate in our as our experience. That's what you do in meditation. Whatever you meditate on, that quality we will acquire. We meditate on divine personality like Sri Ramakrishna, those qualities will come. We meditate on bad things, those qualities will come. So this frequently reminding ourselves that there is only one common indwelling spirit, namely the Divine Lord, God Himself is present in all the things I am witnessing, I am dealing with, including this myself also. That's the first thing we can do. That will develop a strong conviction in us, help us to maintain that awareness of the Divine Presence in all and everything that we come across in our daily lives. Second thing that we have to do is to intensify our yearning to experience this truth. We have that desire to see God in all. Otherwise, we would not be even here just talking about this. We all have the desire to see God. But our desire is not very strong. It's mild or moderate. In the Viveka Chodamani, there is a verse. Shankara says, though this desire to achieve liberation is mild or moderate, by the practice of appropriate spiritual disciplines and by the grace of Guru, this desire will become strong and fructify, will produce the fruit. Fruit of desire to achieve something is the thing itself. If you desire to achieve liberation, we get liberation. If you desire to see God, we see God. So here Shankara says, Manda Madhyama Rupapi Vairagyena Shamadina Prasadena Guroho Seyam Pravriddha Suvyate Phalam. Three things are necessary for us to intensify our desire. Sri Ramakrishna had very intense desire to see Divine Mother. We'll read that one. How intense was his yearning to see Divine Mother? That we'll read in his own words a little later. We have to intensify our desire. I want to see God in this life before this present lifespan ends. Not much time is left. Our time left is rapidly diminishing. As we saw last time, the days that go by once, they will never come back. As Shankaracharya said, Pratyayanti gata punarna divasah kalo jagat bhakshakah. The days that once pass by, they will never come back. 30th of December 2018 will never come back. 30th of December will come in 2019, but this day is gone forever. This moment that we are now experiencing, once it is past, it is past. So time is the very precious resource. Time is the only totally non-renewable resource. Other things, even if you waste, you should not. Paper and food, etc., we can grow them. But time, we cannot. So we have to be conscious of this time that is passing by. And we have to intensify our desire to see God in all and everything now in this life. We can do it later in next life too, or next life too. Number of lifetimes, we can extend this effort over a large number of lifetimes. But if you are sincerely seeking the divine experience, we should have that intensity of yearning. We should cultivate that intensity of yearning now. That is the second thing that we have to do. Sri Ramakrishna said, one should combine the attraction of a mother for her child, the attraction of a miser for his wealth, and the attraction of a young man for his wife, and direct the combined attraction of all these towards God. Then we can see God. Sri Ramakrishna told also the parable of a boy in a Gurukula. Gurukula is a residential school, a hermitage in earlier times. The boys used to stay as resident scholars in the teacher's home, and they would be taken care of there. And in that situation, this incident is a parable. Sri Ramakrishna says these parables to make a point. This boy was asking his teacher, sir, every day you say that God is present in us all, in all and everything, but so far I have not seen God. When will I see God? The teacher didn't answer. He takes the boy, holds the boy holds the boy's hand and leads him to the lake nearby, and they both enter the water. The boy has no choice because teacher is holding his hand, and when the water came to the level of the boy, the teacher suddenly presses the boy's head under the water, keeps it there for 5 seconds and releases it. Then the boy gets up, face above the water, and starts breathing with relief. Then the teacher asked them, when your head was under water, what were you thinking? Sir, I only wanted to be able to breathe. Nothing else at that time. Just want to breathe. No other thought came to the boy's mind. At that time, if you gave me a toy, a Nintendo or electronic or an iPhone or something, or cheesecake or something, that doesn't do. I want to breathe. Nothing else. That kind of intensity, if we have, we can see God now. So it intensity means that degree of intensity. It will not come in a day, I know, but we have to start our attempt now, at this moment. Sri Ramakrishna's own intense yearning for the vision of the Divine Mother, he describes how intense was his Vyakulata, is yearning to see the Divine Mother. He would do such intense spiritual practices in the Panchavati, going there and in the middle of the night and meditating, taking away all his clothes and the sacred thread and everything. Still, he had not had the vision of Divine Mother. So this is what he experienced. He said, this is Swami Sharadananda describing this intensity of Sri Ramakrishna's yearning in the great master, which is now rewritten by Swami Chaitanananda as Sri Ramakrishna on this divine play. From that book I am reading a passage. Swami Sharadananda heard from the master that one day at that time he was singing to the Divine Mother and praying and crying bitterly. He implored piteously, Mother, I have been praying to you so long. Why don't you listen to me? You showed yourself to Ram Prasad. Why won't you show yourself to me? The master described what happened then. There was an unbearable pain in my heart because I could not have a vision of the mother. Just as a man wrings out a towel with all his strength to get the water out of it, so I felt as if my heart were being wrung out. I began to think I should never see Mother. I was dying of despair. In my agony, I asked myself, what is the use of living this life? Suddenly, my eyes fell on the sword that hangs in the Mother's shrine. I decided to end my life then and there. Like a madman, I ran to the sword and seized it. Then I had a marvelous vision of the mother and fell down unconscious. Afterwards, what happened in the external world or how the day and the next passed, I don't know. But within me, there was a steady flow of undiluted bliss that I had never experienced before. And I felt the immediate presence of the Divine Mother. This is the experience that Sri Ramakrishna described. How intense was his yearning to see the Divine Mother. This is in the Sri Ramakrishna and His Divine Play by Swami Sharadananda, translated by Swami Chaitanananda, on page 212. Very nice passage to read. But I don't recommend this for people like us. We have to follow more conventional methods to increase our intensity, our desire to see God. That is first thing. First thing is to frequently remember the truth that the same divine is present in all. As much as possible, keep the thought in our mind. Whenever you come across somebody, if you are a teacher in a classroom and you see the students, you see the Lord himself has come in the form of all these children and give me an opportunity to teach them this is the way he wants me to serve him now. This is my service, this is my worship. You can think like that. If you are a doctor treating a patient, the patient comes, you can say, the Lord himself has come in the form of this patient. Give me an opportunity to serve him in this way. Like this, we can always see the divine, try to see, the visualize the divine presence in the other person or persons next to us with whom we are dealing at that time. That is one. Second thing is to increase the intensity of our yearning. Time is going away, clock is ticking away, little bit time is left. If I don't see God before this body ends, then when will I see God? I want to see God now. The desire we have to keep alive and increase it in our hearts as much as possible. Second step. Third step that we can do, which is not difficult, is doable, is to serve God in all beings. In any way we can, and in every way we can. Sri Ramakrishna mentioned that three things that a devotee should have according to the Vaishnava devotional tradition. A devotee must have three things. First thing is love of repeating God's name. Name Preeti. God's name contains God's power. And repeating God's name takes us to God. As explained in with another parable, visualize that there is a log of wood in water, in a river or somewhere, and it is connected to a chain, and we are holding the other end of the chain. It's a long chain. And to reach the log of wood, we have to go along the chain, holding the chain, link by link, we have to advance. In the same way, every time we repeat God's name once, we are getting a little bit closer to God. God is that goal where we have to reach, which we have to reach. And the chain is the God's name, japa, that we do, repetition of God's name. Every time we take God's name once, repeat the mantra once or name once, to that extent you are approaching God. And by doing it more and more and more, we will reach God. That's the power of japa. I was explaining like that. So that's the first thing a devotee should have. Name Preeti, love of repeating God's name. Second thing that we have to do is to have compassion for all beings. Bhute, daya. All beings means all beings, not only human beings, animals, plants, and inanimate objects too. Even this inanimate object, it has feelings, there is consciousness in it. The same consciousness that is within me, which is being manifest when I'm speaking and walking, talking, eating, etc. The same consciousness is in here too. But only thing is it remains hidden because of its jada inert nature and is not equally manifest. Same divinity in all, but not equally manifest in all. In some it is more clearly manifest. Sri Ramakrishna said, in human beings, divine presence is most clearly manifest. We can see God's presence most clearly in the human frame. Though it is present in all, in the tree also, in the plant also, animal also, it is less manifest. It is there, but less manifest, less visible from the outside. So that is second, practicing compassion towards all beings. Third thing that a devotee should do is serving all beings, serving all the devotees. This third thing is the one that I'm going to speak about. These three, repeating God's name, compassion towards all beings, serving all beings, these constitute the essence of Vaishnava devotion. The superiority of seeing, worshipping God in all beings over worshipping God in images is explained in the Bhagavatam. Generally, people go to temples where there are images made of granite or marble or clay or some other material. Elaborate worship is offered to the image. That is all good. It is necessary. Pratima puja is necessary. It's an essential step in spiritual practice. But we should not stop there. We should serve all God in all his forms, in his living form. The superiority of serving God, worshipping God, in his vibrant living form, as in the form of beings, people, animals, plants, things, over worshipping God only in the images, has been nicely explained by the sage Kapila to a devotee. Her name was Devahuti. This comes in the third canto of the Bhagavata. It's a fairly long passage. How it is superior, it is better to worship God in this living manifest form than to worship God only in the images and stopping there. So this is the passage. I abide in all beings as their innermost soul. The Lord is speaking. I abide in all beings as their innermost soul. Disregarding my presence within them, men make a show of worshipping me through images. If one disregards me present in all as their soul and Lord, but ignorantly offers worship only to images, such worship is as ineffective as sacrificial offerings made in ashes. If you make sacrificial offering in a fire ceremony, if there is fire, the offering is burned. If there is no fire, only ashes, that offering is of no use. A man who persecutes me, residing in others, who is proud and haughty, who looks upon God as the other, such a person will never gain peace of mind. If a man disregards and persecutes fellow beings, but worships me in images with numerous rituals and rich offerings, I am not at all pleased with him for proffering such a worship. A man should, however, worship me in images side by side with discharging his duties, which include the love of all beings, until he actually realizes my presence in himself and in all beings. As long as a man is self-centered and makes an absolute distinction between himself and others, without recognizing unity of all in me, the inner pervader, he will be subject to the great fear of death, including every form of deprivation of self-interest. So overcoming the separativeness of a self-centered life, one should serve all beings with gifts, honor, and love, recognizing that such service is really being rendered to me who reside in all beings as their innermost soul. Doing elaborate ritualistic worship in temples and adorning the images with a golden crown and all those jewelry and everything, but disregarding the next being that needs some service. That is not true devotion at all. In this context, we can remind ourselves of Swamiji's poem, The Living God. Some time ago, Swami Atmagyanji spoke on all the poems that Swamiji wrote in our series of Sunday talks. He spoke on this poem called The Living God, written by Swamiji, Swami Vivekananda. This has four stanzas in it. I will read two stanzas for the sake of brevity. This is the poem that Swamiji wrote. He who is in you and outside you, who works through all hands, who walks on all feet, whose body are all ye, him worship and break all other idols. Ye fools, who neglect the living God and his infinite reflections with which the world is full, while ye run after imaginary shadows that lead alone to fight and quarrels, him worship, the only visible, break all other idols. When Swamiji wrote these lines, he who is in you and outside you, who works through all hands, who walks on all feet, whose body are all ye, that looks like a direct restatement of what Sri Krishna said in the Bhagavad Gita. Sarvatah pani padam tat sarvatokshi shiro mukham sarvatah shrutimat loke sarvam avritya tishtati. The Lord is present everywhere in all and everything. All hands are his hands. All feet are his feet. He is seeing through all the eyes. He is hearing through all the ears. He is walking through all the feet. He is eating through all the mouths. Disregarding his living, vibrant presence in the beings around us, including animals, plants, and inanimate objects, animals and plants, where if you only worship, see God in God's presence in the images, that worship is not acceptable to me, the Lord himself is saying. This is from the Bhagavata Paramahapuranam. Then how can we serve? How can you translate it into practice in the present, under the present circumstances? In any way we can. We can find numerous ways to serve other beings if we have the willingness. Our imagination is the limit. In any way we can serve people, animals and plants too. Giving food, giving, providing transportation, so giving comfort, solace, serving the sick and the poor, volunteering in hospitals, soup kitchens, schools, senior centers, animal shelters, parks, gardens, wherever help is needed and can be given. Taking care of animals and plants also constitutes service. Whatever service is rendered to any creature in the creation reaches God. In the Bible we see the statement, whatever thou shalt render to the least of these, my brethren, thou shalt do it, thou doest it unto me. Whatever service we do to anybody reaches the Lord because he is present in all. Aham me sarvajnanam bhokta cha prabhurevacha, the Lord said in the Bhagavad Gita. That is number three. So far you have seen three things. First thing is frequently remembering that God is present in all. Second thing is to intensify our desire to see God now. Third thing is to serve the Lord in all the beings as much as we can, in any way we can, in every way we can. Fourth thing is also easy to do. Doing all work as worship or as offering, as Sri Krishna says again and again in many places in the Bhagavad Gita. He says, whatever you do, do it as an offering to me. Whatever you do it as my worship. This instruction comes several places in the Bhagavad Gita. We can do that one because we are working all the time anyhow. Even breathing is also activity, eating is also activity, walking is also activity, speaking is also activity. All these are activities we all do all the time. Why not do all this as worship? Why not do all this offering? If you do that, since you are always doing something, including sleeping, Nidra Samadhi Stiti, Shankaracharya said, even sleeping is also a kind of activity can be done as an offering to God. If you do that one, our life becomes an unbroken stream of worship. We are always worshipping. When are we not worshipping God? When we take bath, we are worshipping God because His temple, this is abode. He lives here. I am cleaning this temple for Him so I can live in a clean place. When you are eating, it is worship of God. Sri Krishna says specifically about eating in the Bhagavad Gita, 9th chapter, 27th verse. You know that one. So many times I have quoted that one. Yat karoshi yad ashnasi, that verse. Ashnasi means whatever you specifically, Sri Krishna mentions, whatever you eat, offer it to me. Tat kurusha madarpanam. Whether you're eating muri or ganta muri, we can offer to God because He accepts everything. Because He is present in ourself as Vaishwanara, the digestive power. Aham Vaishwanaro bhutva praninam dehamashritaha. The Lord has said, I am present in bodies of all the beings, including in trees and plants and animals. He is present as Vaishwanara. Even if you gave a cup of water to a thirsty dog, even if you gave a little bit of food to the cat or any other animal, pour water to the drying plant in the tree, you are serving the Lord, reaches Him, is present in all. If you only develop that attitude that everything I am doing is worship of God, everything I am doing is offering to God, then you are always worshipping Him. When are we separate from Him? Just doing all our daily work, we don't have to change the nature of activity. Whatever you are doing, we can continue to do that one. But we have to just give this little bit of twist, change our attitude a little bit, thinking that this is worship of God. The only exception is we should not do nishiddha karma, immoral, illegal activities. We should not steal, cheat, and steal lies and say I'm worshiping. That one, that we know, that we have given up a long time ago. There's not even a question at this stage. So all activities, if we do worship of God, that is the quickest way to realize God's presence in all and everything. That is the third thing. Fourth thing is, that's the fourth thing. First was remembering God all the as frequently as possible. Second was to intensify our desire. Third was to serve God in all. Fourth one is to do all our work as offering, as or worship, as enjoined in the Bhagavad Gita. Shankara has a very nice hymn. It says, whatever work I do, O Lord Shambho, accept it as my worship, he says. Yes, the verse is very nice. Atmatvam girijamati sahachara prana shariram graham pujate vishayopabhogarachana nidra samadhisthitihi sanchara padayo pradakshina vidihi stotrani sarvagiro yadyat karma karomi tatyadakhilam shambho tavaradhanam. O Lord Shambho, Lord Shiva, whatever work I do, it's all your worship. I'm doing it as worship. Please accept it as my worship. Everything. Why? How can my activity be worship of God? I'm speaking, I'm eating. How can that be worship of God? Because who is within me? Atmatvam. You are my very self. You are present in me as my very self. Atmatvam. And in my mind, that mind is Girija. Your divine consort Girija is my mind, my buddhi. Girija matihi. Prana sacharaha, the five functional pranas, components of prana, which are responsible for all the physiological processes in the body, they are my companions. As long as they are with me, I am alive and active. Once they leave me, nothing, everything stops. Prana sacharaha, shariram graham, this body is the abode where the Lord resides. Pujate vishayo pabhogarachana, anytime you do any activity with a sense object, which is all the activity, is puja, is your worship. Nidra samadhi stitihi, even sleeping is also like going into samadhi. Every day we go to samadhi, wake up in the same way as we went in to sleep. But if you go to real samadhi, we'll wake up as Brahmagyanis, realized people. Yad yad karma karo, one more, stotrani sarva giro. Every word I speak is your hymn, is your praise, is in your praise. Sanchara padayo pradakshina vidihi. Every time I take a few steps from going from this prayer room to the basement downstairs, that is pradakshina vidhi. I'm doing circumambulation because it's present everywhere. Is present everywhere. I'm always doing circumambulation, parikrama, when I go from one place to another, when I take a few steps. Yad yad karma karomi tat tadakhilam shambho tavaradhanam. O Lord Shambho, whatever work I do, that's my worship of you. Please accept it as worship. If we keep that attitude in our mind, we don't have to change our activities. Whatever we have been doing, we can continue to do that one. But all our activities will become worship. And our whole life becomes an unbroken stream of worship. Many of you remember Brother Lawrence, about whom I have spoken several times. He did all his work, cooking in the monastery kitchen and repairing the shoes that required repair in the monastery shoe repair shop. Everything was worshipped to him. That's how he practiced the presence of God. That's the fourth one. Last one is even easier. The opening prayer that I chanted, Tvam Stri Tvam Pumanasi Tvam Kumar Otava Kumari, that one from the Shvetashvatara Upanishad, that summarizes the last discipline that we can do. It is, if you practice visualizing the presence of our chosen ideal in everyone and everything that we encounter and persist in this practice, eventually what we imagine will become experience. When I see somebody, if my chosen ideal is Sri Rama, I say, oh, Rama himself has come in the form of this person. We can put that thought in this, what Swami Ramdas did. Swami Ramdas was in Kerala, passed away recently, 1963, he saw everybody and everything as Rama himself, even animals also. Many times he stayed in caves and places where there were poisonous snakes. Snakes would come and crawl over him, but you didn't bother him. He'll be joyfully addressing, oh Rama, you have come. Thank you for coming. He would address them like that. Everything was Rama. That becomes reality. Whatever we imagine today will become the reality tomorrow. I think it was Swami Turiyananda who said, today's imagination is tomorrow's realization. And this is also what many of you studied with Swamiji when you studied Ashtavakra Samhita, that nice book that Swamiji taught some time ago. There, in the first chapter, 11th verse, this famous adage comes, Yamati Sagatir Bhavit. Whatever I think, that I become. Whatever we think, that we become. So if you realize, if you visualize God's presence, that visualization will become our experience, realization tomorrow. These five things, if you practice to the extent we can, I think it will be possible for all of us to see God in all and everything. Let us pause for a few minutes for reflection. Sarve bhavantu sukhinah, sarve santu niramayah, sarve bhadrani pasyantu, ma kaschid dukkha bhag bhavet. Om shanti shanti shanti. Om, may all be happy, may all be free from afflictions, may all realize what is noble and auspicious, may no one be subject to misery. Om, peace. Peace be within us all. Peace and harmony be amongst all beings. Peace be everywhere in nature. Hari Om Tat Sat Sarvam Sri Ramakrishna Arpanamastu. Thank you all for coming.